when we call ourselves overcomers, that means something very, very special in the heavenlies. And we're trusting, oh God, that your definition of overcoming is where we are in our life in so many areas, Lord. We just put before you anything where we are not feeling or experiencing what that looks like to you. And Father, we're desiring in this house to live our life as overcomers. Because when, Lord, you tell us that we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we love not our life unto the death, Lord, we're trusting and believing that these words are true for us. These words are electrifying for us, and they are more than just words. They become substance on the inside of us. So, Lord, as we just connect with your heart as the ultimate overcomer, you overcame sin and death. You overcame everything. You overcame the world. And Lord, we have the privilege of saying, you are the overcomer in my life, and my life will reflect who you are, because I'm laid down, I'm going lower, I'm establishing myself with all that you accomplished. Lord, that's who we are. That's who I am. Can we just celebrate right now with the Lord and tell him, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for overcoming. And thank you, Lord, that I will live my life as an overcoming influence in this world. And that I offer myself to you. Just raise your voices now and tell him what's in your heart. We're having that holy communion and interconnection with the Lord right now. I am an overcomer, Lord, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And I love not my life unto the death. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Lord. And if we have some areas in our life where we're not sensing or feeling that overcoming power, that overcoming victory, just believe the Lord says, I will take you into that because I love you. He's the one that invites us to come up here. Come up now. Come up to my holy mountain. Thank you, Lord. We say yes and we agree in spirit. We say yes and we believe that we are your overcomers, Lord, and it's by your power. It's not by our might or our power, but by your spirit, by your power, saith the Lord of hosts. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We choose to believe and receive that today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Yeah. Wow. You know, words are very effective in the world, in our business lives, in our corporate lives. We speak, things happen. We write things out. We prepare documents. Things occur. Things are put into motion. So our words are extremely strong. And I know that we had a testimony. I'm going to ask Kaylee to just share real quickly. She sent me an email either last night or this morning. And I just wanted to share what was on her heart. The last night we were in Mozambique a week or so ago, something touched her. The Spirit of God touched her, and she just wrote me this morning just to ask her to share what that was. Hey.
The last night we were there, Pastor Jose had a time of impartation towards us where Pastor Jose just released a lot of whatever the Lord had put on Pastor Jose's heart. He opened his mouth and cooperated with Holy Spirit and released that to all of us. And what he released to us, I think I spoke about this a little bit on Sunday when we talked about the Mozambique, like the whole missions extravaganza, but what he released to us was going to the Word of God and having it be more than just words on a page, but having it like having a revelation of what those words mean. That we can read the Bible and the Bible is good, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything if we don't have a revelation of what we're reading, if it doesn't touch our hearts, because we're not going to be transformed, we're not going to be changed unless the Lord opens that door, that window for us to understand what we're reading. And so Pastor Jose imparted that to us, and he just basically said, you're going to have this time of revelation, and you're going to receive revelation from the Word of God. And literally every single time, I mean, I love the Word of God. I have beforehand, like I always have, but there's just been a huge, there's been such an increase, a new level, a new depth of that ever since that impartation, like literally 10 minutes after that impartation, Holy Spirit was speaking out of me from the book of Esther. A week later, I was reading through Psalm 119. I have 10 pages of notes over 8 verses. And last night he had me going through Joshua 1, the first chapter of Joshua. And it's just like, I'm just having revelation after revelation after revelation. And it's different than just saying I'm reading the word and I'm understanding what I'm reading. But he's bringing it to such a deeper level where he's saying, I was prompted to go to the word because I saw a situation in my life. And I asked the Lord, what do I do in this situation? And he brought a verse to my mind. And at that moment, it was be strong and courageous. So I went to Joshua chapter 1 because I knew that's where it was. And he took a place where I was looking at a situation in my life saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm supposed to respond, blah, 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 me, me, me. How do I do this? And he took me through the chapter, and it turned from how do I overcome this to, oh my gosh, Lord, look what you're doing through me. Like, he took me from this place of saying, Father, I need to be strong and courageous in this situation, to saying, Haley, if you're strong and courageous in this situation, people are going to be saved. And this is how you be strong and courageous. So it was just, is there more? I don't know.
Good. I was just really encouraged and touched this morning. It's not a new revelation that the revelatory realm has opened up to us even greater in many greater ways when we're in the Word. That's not new. But it was just so rewarding to hear that again. And there was a remembrance of what the Lord had done, spoken, and there was a receiving. There was an impartation, and there was a receiving of that impartation. New things have to go together. When something is released to you over a body or in some way over the group that perhaps you're in, when you choose to receive it by faith, even if you're not feeling it, God is able to do the work that he's wanting to accomplish. And so there is greater levels of revelation in the prophetic realm for enjoying the word, using the word, enjoying his presence, seeing what God is saying about bringing the lost sheep in all around the world, and what that go, that G-O, actually looks like, what it means, what God is telling us right now. So we're just going to release an impartation right now for greater measure of understanding and excitement, enthusiasm, and enjoyment for the word of God. And I'm just saying, I believe the Lord is saying now that I'm going to take you to a new place. Many of you are prophetic learners and receivers, and the Lord's going to take you to a new place right now in the Spirit where your answers will be found that you've been looking for. There will be no lack in areas that you have felt there is lack in. And the Lord's going to show you, but he's going to do something when you go and you find out what he's saying specifically. It's part of learning how to hear the voice of God and respond. So Holy Spirit, thank you for that word of life right now. And may it sweep across this place that ears would be open to hear what you're saying to us as the church today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that new place, that new dimension, that new carving out in the Spirit that will open up the windows of heaven in a larger way over us, over our life. In Jesus' name, let it be. And if there have been any words that have been spoken that are not from the Spirit of God, that they would be canceled, that they would be eradicated, there would be new life, new energy, new level of enjoyment to be able to go the extra mile, to be able to live well and love well and bring in the fulfillment of all of our destinies. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. That's awesome. This past week has been very interesting. We've had all kinds of things going on, from summer celebration where we had kids here and junior hires who are not kids, but the junior hires who were here, the young adults who also were part of the summer celebration, but they had an overnighter and some other evening programs. And I'm going to ask Justin just to briefly share something or some testimony from that. And Andy was overseeing, I think with Nikki, the outreach downtown. If you can just come up briefly and give a highlight there. And I think we have also some very quick moving pictures from the summer celebration for the children. So it's a really wonderful, wonderful week. Amen.
Well, I was a part of the Friday night all-nighter with the junior high, and it was just an extraordinary time because there was such an energy, such a joy, and God's presence was there the whole night. And I know it was probably like 2, 3 in the morning. I don't know. We had different stations We had Nikki on the drums. We had Mike on the djembes and different things. And we had Jamie with the vocals and Andrew Calhoun with the guitar. And it was really cool to see everyone get involved and get to learn a piece of that and get to express that. And I heard people singing out. I heard people playing out on the guitar. And it sounded amazing. It sounded just absolutely amazing because just for each one of you guys who's stepping out and putting what's on your heart and using the instrument to express that. And God is so excited about what he's releasing through gifts and just music abilities and what, you know, just as we come together, what he's able to just bring down and just reveal to us. So I thought that was amazing, and I was so blessed to be a part of that.
Wow. First Friday was awesome. We had a little bit of off and on rain, which actually kind of helped out because there were some individuals that they wanted to get out of the rain, so they came underneath the tent. And so we were able to draw pictures for them. It was amazing. And one of the things that, I mean, there were definitely people that were waiting in line. There were people that were seeking us out. I had two ladies come, and they said, "We got our pictures drawn a year ago, and we're ready right now just for whatever you want to have and release." And they were just, I drew for one woman, and, you know, it blessed her and encouraged her. And there was this other woman that was sitting there, and she was waiting, and she was literally leaning forward, just like, what's the Lord going to say? What's he going to do? And it was just an amazing time. And a little bit later in the evening, it's coming. Shannon spoke to me, and she said, "This woman, I was sure for her. She was so blessed, she started crying, and I didn't know what to do." But it was just, the presence of the Lord was there, and it was amazing. And even at the final end of the evening, there was a woman who was across the way, and we always kind of have our booth set up next to her. And she had talked to Ashley afterward, and it was just kind of I don't have to get into it now, kind of an interesting discussion of her heart really needing to be touched by Jesus, but her not necessarily being open to, you know, I guess our stance on certain issues that are happening in the world. But she could still feel and sense the love. And she had seen it consistently over time, over time, over time. So we're looking forward to go down there again and obviously get positioned close to her so that she could receive more of the love of Jesus. So I encourage you guys, obviously, it's coming up the next First Friday, to make it on out. It should be an awesome, amazing time.
Isn't it great? We have such an amazing group of young adults, little children, obviously the junior hires that we don't call kids. And we love seeing what God's doing in their lives. It's just really, really thrilling to be able to know that the Lord is doing something so exciting in their lives. Think back to when you were a child. Did you feel really, really on fire and close to the Lord and ready to go take nations? Maybe so. But for the most part, we were probably more in a developmental, traditional stage, some of us. And so I just really have a heart for the little kids. I love seeing what they are doing. And I really want to tie in with what God is doing overseas, what God is doing here, what God is doing in the world today, so that our children have the best start, the best kingdom start they possibly can. I do know that some of our children are dreaming great dreams. They're having dreams and visions at home, and they're actually being able to speak about these things and hear about what the Lord might have to say about it. They're with parents and family who can drive that home and say, "Oh, how cool is that? Let me tell you what it's like to encounter the Lord. I can tell you what I understand." And we're just seeing this as becoming more and more normal, which I dearly, dearly love. I love supernatural normalness, normality. That's so good. So if you want to open your Bibles to Isaiah 43, please, that would be great. We're going to take a look at a few verses, verse 1 through 7, actually. But before we do, or you can get that open, before we do, just like to draw your attention to a scripture that Andy's going to put up here in John about the Lord is spirit, and that we are called and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if you can open up your Bibles, that would be great. And I'm going to get my things up there so we can look at that together. Do you have that, Andy? Or Tiana? Okay, John 4:24.
a very familiar verse for most of us, I would think, that the Lord is spirit and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the word that really triggers something in my heart is the word must. Sometimes when we hear must, we take it a certain way and we think, oh my goodness, this is, I better salute my God. But you know, when the Lord is telling us that we must do something, there's a reason for it. It's a very strategic word in a phrase in a Bible verse. We must. In other words, if we don't, then there will not be the effect that we think we're going to have. God is very, very clear on that. We must, because he is spirit, we must worship him in spirit and in truth, which suggests to us that many of us, or some of us may not be, or that worshiping him may look a different way, or that we don't realize that worship is actually something very, very important to the Lord that he's defining, and that we need to fall into what he is saying. So if he is telling us that we must do something and we must worship him a certain way, we must pay attention to how he's defining this. So if he is saying we must worship him in spirit and in truth, then he is telling us very succinctly that there's something behind that that is going to affect what we consider to be worship. Isn't that true? And the Lord wants us to be able to enter into his courtrooms with thanksgiving, and his throne in his courtrooms with praise. And he wants us to enter into that holy of holies with thanksgiving and praise. And he wants us to be able to connect with him. He wants us to have the tightest, most heavenly encounter that we possibly can. And so when we're doing this, or when we are positioning ourselves to worship him, then we need to take a look at these two words. In spirit, our spirit needs to connect with his spirit. We are spirit. We are spirit and we are life. He is spirit and life, but we are spirit. We are a spirit. And then we have a body and we have a soul. We live in a body. We have a soul, but we are spirit. So our spirit rising is extremely important to be able to have effective worship that is received by the Lord. Now, he's very gracious because he knows that we're in process. But for us to be able to receive the benefit from our worship in fullness, we must worship him through our spirit, by our spirit, and in truth. That means that we can follow and take a look at various facts that seem to say a certain thing about worship. We can read what it says in the scriptures. But then, as the revelation comes to us as to what this can look like for us, something happens where there's a heart connection. Something happens where there is a divine, holy encounter with the Lord in our acts of worship. And this is not just when we're up here with a nice worship team. This is not just in a corporate setting. This is going to be in any type of setting where we are designed and created and acting as worshipers for the Lord. With our children at home, we're worshiping the Lord. With our In our businesses, in our offices, we are worshiping the Lord. Whatever we are doing, we are called to worship the Lord. When I was in Mozambique this summer, one of the places that I preached was at Iris Ministries in the southern base in Maputo, in Zimpetu there. And it was just really a fun time. The Lord really highlighted Romans 12, 1 and 2 to me to be able to offer to them. And how it was presented, I felt, was effective in that people were paying attention and receiving. There was a response to what was actually offered. And when people are commanded to do something, a command may produce a response, but it won't be necessarily from the heart. But when there is something that is from the Lord that is released, and people then respond out of the place that they are designed to respond, then something takes place in their lives that wasn't there before. There's an upgrade. So every time we worship the Lord, there is an upgrade in the spirit for us as spirit people. That's what he wants us to see and to know. So when we're worshiping him in spirit and in truth, that we can be sure that he is pleased with us, with our worship, and that it's going to have an effect on our life. Since we're made in his image, he says, you're like me. You carry the DNA of heaven. angels I created, they do crazy things, great things, but they are not made in my image. They do not have the DNA of heaven that you do. We are made in the image of God. And the more depth that truth actually means to us, the greater our encounters will be in worship as we worship the Lord, as we get up in the morning. So this morning when I awakened and I opened my eyes, I said, "Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning. How are you? I'm going to have a great day today because you live in me and because you're God and I'm not. And today's going to be a marvelous day." And that set the tone for my life for the day. Now he says, "What are you going to do in response to what I've done inside of you from that moment on? What will be your response? What will you say? What will you do? What will be the next step for you?" But I know myself really fairly well. And my husband knows me well. And I know that it could be easy for me to move a different direction. And I don't want that to happen in my life. It could be if I didn't remain tethered to the Lord, where my spirit is connecting with him from the minute I awaken. And so when I go to sleep at night, that my spirit is so tethered in worship that I have peaceful rest. And if there is something going on in the heavenlies and the Lord wants to wake me and to be able to say, "Hey, honey, you need to pray. Here's what's going on," that I'm able to do that, that I want to do that, that it's not going to be a chore, that's going to be something that I'm in sync with the Spirit of God. It's like, wow, that's what I want more and more. So when I was thinking about this, when I was preaching in this place called Zimpetu, which is a children's center, the original home base for Iris Ministries in Mozambique, now it's Kemba, which is in the north, but Zimpetu still exists, and there are still many children there. The verses that the Lord gave me, as I said, were Romans 12, 1 and 2. And when I was speaking with them about Paul, of course, saying to them, "Oh, therefore, brethren, I urge you, because of the mercies of God, to present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And this is your reasonable act of service or worship," depending on your version. "And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life at that moment. In the future, you will know, you will know, you will feel it, you will know. You will not be tricked. You will not be looking at something through wrong thinking or eyes or whatever. You'll know." And I thought, gosh, this is so simple, Lord. So as I was jumping forward and then jumping back and trying to demonstrate what it means to present ourselves, I was trying to relate to the people in terms of where they're coming from, not just what they see in the front, but also what worship could look like for them, what a life of worship would actually come across and look like. And what's really interesting about this, which I don't know, I can just tell you that my heart was, "Oh gosh, Lord, there's so many children in that base. And there are other children who are being bussed in now who come." So there were actually 300 children. And we had made 300 banners, little ribbons that we have here. And we made them and we took them. Thank you for that, and we gave them out to the children. And I thought, oh my gosh, last year, Lord, many of these kids were just taken out as soon as I was able to preach. And, oh Lord, I wish that would change. So throughout the year, I never said anything, but in my heart, I thought I sure would love to see them in there. And so I believe God will give me a message that they'll be able to receive because they love Jesus. And I can use words that they could understand, but even if not, they will be changed because they're receiving, they're listening, they're in that environment. So that's how it was. And it was interesting because when we were asked to do this, I had asked Pastor Jose if there was a way that the children might be staying in. And then he said, "Well, they're in there. They're in there the whole time." And I said, "Really? Okay." So there were 300 kids in there. And I thought, this could be a zoo. I don't know what this is going to look like. And this, of course, is Mozambique. They're not beating their kids to make them sit there, anything like that in Iris. But at the same time, they were led into this, that this was something that they do. And I asked later, I said, "Do you do this every week?" And they said, "No." They had just started it. They had just tried it. And it was just on the Sundays that Pastor Jose preaches. I thought it was kind of interesting because he is out and about doing many different things. And then he divides it up just as we do many times when we're overseas. And other people from you folks here come in and preach and such. And we'd like to have more of that even while we're here. Yes, please. So It was amazing. So Papa Steve, who is the overseer of the children's home, and his wife Roz, Mama Roz, Rosalind, he was sitting with me, and we were looking at the children while there were dances and dramas, and of course that held the kids' attention. But when I came to speak, they were sitting and they were listening, and they were encouraged, I believe, then in the end, and there were so many salvations, it was incredible. So many salvations. The hands went up all over the place, and there were so many renewal of commitments for those who didn't maybe walk real closely with the Lord. There was an air and an attitude and an expression of joy. And I was just really charged. I, to be really frank with you, I was expecting great things, but it overwhelmed me. I didn't expect that kind of response. It's like, wow. So many of them stepped into a new realm. Whether they knew Jesus or not, initially, they stepped into a place where there was a release of the spirit of worship over them. And they stepped in and they had their hands raised. Now, it's very clear in what the call was for. But you know, kids, sometimes, and adults will raise their hand anyway. But they were charged because it was all about saying, oh my gosh, let's present ourselves to the wonderful one who loves us so much. And it was really exciting. And what Papa Steve said to me, he says, I've never seen those kids sit as still as this ever. I said, really? That's cool. So I knew that God had done something. And that there was a response that was released from them. And so my heart, as I've been just seeking the face of the Lord for the last year for our little people, is to provide an avenue, provide a climate, to provide an opportunity, to provide an environment where they will have the opportunity to do really what the Holy Spirit is speaking to them. We've got some wildly amazing children here. I don't know if you're aware of that, but these are incredible young people. And they have really big Holy Spirit anointings on them, even from very small, as they're very small. And I know we've been saying that for many years, and we like to see us, you know, Lord, what are your strategies? How do we work in Kingdom Kids? What do we do? What can we do as facilitators, as the older ones? And we've heard that, and we do. We take steps, and we try to hear new strategies and everything. So this year, well, actually, it started last year, but now this year, the Lord really pressed it on my heart to help the children a little bit more directly, which they get some in Kingdom Land. But something special, something in addition to that that will help them in the area, specifically dealing with what I'm talking about in the area of worship. Some of them have abilities, even as little 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, for instrumental increase. They do. They have desires, they have interests. And so we're trying to figure out how we can do that. And I'm going to be sending an email out to the leaders in our children's department who really don't. They're just hearing this today. So, but this is something really strong on our hearts. How can we increase? What can we do to bless these little people? And the ones who will be coming in more and more after the fact will see the ones who have had opportunities to be able to worship in spirit and in truth in a more direct way for themselves, where their hearts are being triggered, where the children at home will be walking around just singing things that they're coming from their spirit. Or being able to even tap into some supernatural things that are not commanded, but invited. And that there'll be more responsiveness. And I believe that we've taken steps, but I believe the Lord is saying, now you're ready for another wave. Now you're ready for a greater increase. And I'm really, really excited about that. So I'm asking you to just pray into that to see what it would be like for your families and what we're going to do here. So that the children, when they relate on their level in worship, they can come into something more corporately like this, and their little spirit will be triggered. They may not even understand fully what's going on, but they'll feel something, and they'll be able to respond from that perspective. And that's really good. I was telling a parent recently that I had had a vision of one of their children, and the child was a baby at the time, but the child now is a preschooler, and I had a vision of that little one holding this microphone and prophesying over this place. And that hasn't occurred yet. And whether that was for that child, which seemed to be, or children in general, whatever, that's great. But irregardless, I believe that God has that. And I believe also that Pastor Bill and I are desiring to be facilitators of that. want to see more of you preaching here. I want to see more of you facilitating what the Holy Spirit is really saying and doing. When we have Tuesday night fire and wind, we've kind of hit or miss. I'm not just random, I should say. It's not been every week, but I'd like to see more of this where we do have someone who is kind of owning this on the floor as we have a worship team up here so that we can see, we can have more facilitating of what God wants to be doing here, because worship is all about Him. And I believe that this truthful, the desire for greater truth that I am impressing upon you right now to seek God for in the area of worship will start to change us as worshipers. Just like Haley was saying, that because of that impartation, just even for the love of the word, she's been diving in more and more. Well, she is being raised up. She'll become, she has a gift of teaching, a prophetic teaching. I've spoken that over her, and I've been training her in some ways because I've seen that early on with her. So she texts me and asks me tons of questions, and I answer them. And I watch her in Mozambique when I'm imparting, and she's a cat in a screen door, because this is something that she's gifted in, but also there's a new love for the word that God is creating in her. And she reminds me in many respects of somebody I know in that respect. That's one of my giftings. But anyhow, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's ask God, what is truth here? Not just what I feel, not just what makes sense to me, but what is truth? And show me in your word how you can back this up. And I believe that there's going to be a wildness about our youth, our children, that's going to overtake us in, this is not just something we're talking about and it's going to happen in 5 years. We're on it now because the Lord keeps pushing this in my spirit. Very strong. When I was in Mozambique, very strong, very strong, very strong. When I woke up earlier this week, when I woke up in the morning, He gave me a specific strategy and Pastor Bill and I were talking about it. It's like, wow. So, yay God, He's doing something with our youth that's going to take us into other places, I believe. Okay, can you put the next scripture up, please? All right, Revelation 4:1, and then there's an Exodus scripture that we'll put on up after this. This is something that ties in really with the idea of worship, where it requires a response from us. When we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and this is reasonable to God, it's our act of worship. So we're presenting ourselves as a husband, as a grandfather, as a grandmother, as a wife, as a child. We're presenting ourselves to the Lord first. And what He's saying in this scripture, it's not just let's go hang out in heaven. This is a scripture to John, or an invitation to John that became a scripture, where He says, after these things I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. And Mike McRae mentioned that this morning in worship, that on the way he saw a door with a hinge, and that there's a hinge that swings back and forth, and that we have this open invitation. But this is open to us right now. The Lord is saying, I want to do something inside of you, so that you will have an encounter, more of an encountering connection with me on a daily basis. So it's not, this is stressful. Oh, now I'm out of the stress. It will be, Lord, you're with me very clearly in the middle of a stressful situation, or what we deem as a stressful situation. It's not stressful to the Lord, but to us it feels stressful. How many of us can relate to that? Okay, this has been a week for me with various things going on. Coming back from the mountain of Pemba, which was really amazing, and Mozambique, and the rest of Mozambique with my wonderful team, there have been a lot of things that have just kind of been thrown my way. And the Lord is just saying, listen, continue to receive Revelation 4:1. So, and the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me. Now, here is the idea of something that is pivotal, that is musical, that is authoritative. The sound of something like the sound of a trumpet. Speaking with me, speaking. So there's this interaction of speaking and communion, but there's also a must, okay? Just as I said in John chapter 4, just the scripture we saw, must worship me in spirit and in truth, right? Here's another must. Speaking with me said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things.
Well, some of us have had limited understanding, perhaps, from a way that it was initially presented in a Bible study on Revelation 30 years ago. And we think, okay, great. Well, that's something that John did, and he went up and got all kinds of things dealing with the end times, and now I get to find out what that is. Rather than, or I should say, in addition to realizing that this is a command of the Lord. This is a command. This is an invitation, but an invitation from God. How many of us know that he's saying, this is what you need to do? So command, sometimes we salute thinking there's a commander, father-son or father-daughter relationship, and it's not like that. The Lord's not going to make us, but when he says, here's what you need to do, come up here. If God spoke to us right now and said, come up here, just come up here, Haley, would you say, I don't think I really want to? If it's God, come on. If it's God, we'd say, oh, yeah. Our response would be yes and amen because we're designed to respond, right? Our DNA is the DNA of heaven to respond to our Creator. That's why we are considered to be worshipers 24/7. And however that's to look, he's still showing us ever so gently in this world. And he's looking for those who really want to understand that, what it looks like in their everyday, moment-by-moment connection in the world. Because we're in the world, but we're not of it. So all of us have jobs and ministry and all kinds of things going on. And the Lord is still calling us. You are my worshiper in the midst of that. And you must worship me in spirit and in truth. So everything that flows through you will be coming as a result of a response to me. Ooh, that's good. So how? So this response to me is what I'm looking for. From the minute your eyes are open to the minute you go to bed, and then whatever happens during that sleepy time, our spirits are still connected and tethered. That's where true strength, true courage, true abundance is going to take root in deeper places in us, where we won't be able to be moved, even when it looks bleak. We won't be able to be moved, even when things seem icky, when things seem unfair or they seem whatever. Just think of a negative something. I don't want to go there. I'm centered on joy here. But the point is that he's saying, irregardless of that, you are my worshiper. Worship me in spirit and in truth and respond to me, however it is. Don't be looking for, well, the best song. And if I can just lean into that best song, then I'll be able to feel close. And then I'll go out and wish it was with me all the time. That's not bad. But the Lord says, I am with you all the time. And I'm going to teach you what that looks like, so that you are not dependent on that, but at the same time that you don't nix it, because there's a value, and it's truthful by saying it, there's a value in corporate worship. And God wants us to be able to see that and not to negate that, because that what we do is we allow the enemy to steal. We don't want to do that. He doesn't want to steal. He wants to steal from us, and we say, no, I'm living the abundant life. But if you remember earlier when I said, when I quoted Revelation, and I said, I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, and I love not my life unto the death. We always forget that part, some of us, sometimes. It's like, oh, wait a minute here. I really need to die. I really need to be dead. I really, really, really need to stay dead and not rise up. Okay, since I died at the cross, when Jesus was crucified and I was co-crucified with him, then I'm dead. If I'm not acting, living, working, breathing like I am or as I am dead, then that's something I need to consider before the Lord. So that's the process we're in, and it's a great process to be. But in the midst of that, he says, come up here and I will show you what must take place after these things. Come up here. Okay, now let's just jump over to Exodus, if you would. Put the Exodus scripture up. This is good. Then he said to Moses, and we know who he is, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. So he is still calling. If you read the rest of it, it's quite interesting how Moses walks this out and who goes and who doesn't and what happens. But I just want to take one verse here. It's still a command, and it's a command that demands a response. Because if Moses said no, where would we be?
If John said no, where would we be? But where would he be? Where would either one of them be? So it is a command from the Lord saying, I have designed you to step in, and there's a step of faith that you must take to be able to worship me. There is something that you need to do because of my wonderfulness, because of my mercies, Romans 12:1-2, because of my greatness, because of who I am, because of my faithfulness, because I am the great I am. Because of that, there is a response from you that needs to come. But yet at the same time, I design you so beautifully that I will create that response. That just makes no sense to me. How can that be? What? He tells me to do something and I'm trying to do it, but he's saying, rely on me so that I will produce that response through you. What? What a good God. I heard Bill Johnson say recently, here's Jesus coming down from heaven, totally divine. He comes down on earth as a man, lives his life as a man, but yet is still divine. Go figure. How does that work? So when we preach the man Jesus, he's still divine, but he lives his life as a man. I can't figure that out. But that's what he says. So here we have the Lord commanding us to worship, but yet he creates the ability to worship, and also the response comes from him on the inside when we're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. If we're not worshiping him in spirit and in truth, then there's a mixture, and he doesn't want a mixture at all. Okay? So Moses had a choice. Will I go up to the holy mountain? See, the Lord's always calling us up. Come up here. Come up to the holy mountain. I came down. I sent Jesus down because of love. Now I'm calling you up. Here's your response to what I have done. I have released love over you, to you. Now you come up. You come up and you connect. And it's very significant. If we meditate, or as we meditate on these truths, something will happen inside of us. Our worship will change. What we do and how we view worship will change. How we view our time of worship corporately will change. Our worship at home, our worship with our children, our acts of worship, our acts of service as worship will be seen differently. Okay? All right, let's put up Isaiah 56, please. All right, 56:7, very familiar verse for House of Prayer. But listen to maybe something you knew. Even those I will bring to my holy mountain. All right, now he's bringing us to his holy mountain, isn't he? So he's doing it. He's bringing. We can't go there. We can't worship him without us, without him. So he's bringing us to his holy mountain. And make them joyful in my house of prayer. Now, if you're writing this out, some of you are, circle the word joyful or underline it. This is really significant. Very, very significant, because he says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We know that in Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So if we see the word joyful, I will make them. There's the word make, M-A-K-E. I will do it. I will make them this way. I will produce the joy. I will make them joyful as they go up to my holy mountain. Your measure of joy in the Lord 24/7 has a direct connection with your worship of our Holy One in the holy mountain. Listen to that. Our worship, our acts of worship, our worship before the Lord, body, mind, will, and emotions, all together. We were designed and created in God's image as his firstborn son, Jesus, says, I'm going to bring many sons and daughters to glory. We are his son, we are his daughter, and he says, I'm going to do that through you because you said yes to Jesus. So, in this process, I'm kind of laying a foundation here. I hope you're tracking with me. I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. So if my house shall be called a house of prayer, first it has to take place right here. Has to be going on in the tabernacle inside of us with the Holy Spirit. And the great joy from that worship will produce something different. When you come back, let's say, for example, our Mozambique team, and some of them have been getting hits and bruises and attacks and different things, that different thoughts and ideas. And I said to some of them, I said, since they've been home, I said, hey, go back and listen or look at your notes for the 3-hour tour. And they'll say, wow, what a great idea. Well, what's a 3-hour tour? There was one night that we had an impartation with all 21 of us, and where they're just, everybody is all together, and the Lord just downloaded just amazing, good stuff, dealing with how wonderful He is, but also how to stand in the light of who our enemy thinks He is. It was really good. And it took 3 hours, and we just sat there, and it kept going. So we affectionately called it the 3-hour tour, like Gilligan's Island, the 3-hour tour. So a 3-hour tour. But some people said, this was life-changing for me. I didn't realize I'm that significant, and I've got this much to say about what's coming my way. In other words, there was a changing of the mindsets of how people, how we are to do kingdom. It was so good. You might want to listen to it. But anyway, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because the Lord wants us to see that He is the one producing this joy. There will be a new level of joy that will come, will start to erupt inside of us, and we will begin to look at worship in a different way. There's a picture, if you could show that, please, of I am on the floor with a few team members. Before we start, really, the day of ministry, this is in Mozambique, and there's just, it's a really cool picture. I actually put it on Facebook yesterday. It just touched me. It made me laugh. If you can't see it, turn the lights off so it's better. Okay, this is on the floor. This is worship. These are acts of worship. This is worship. This is not just for, well, that's just for Mozambique team, or that's just for a few people. There was so much going on there that as we walked, we did eventually stand up. It was difficult to even walk in a steady way. It felt as though we were walking through jello. It was so strong. The power of God was so incredibly there that I watched this team stand up on their own. Okay, this is very raw. Get up on this stage in this old church that we were in. This was in Mashava in the morning, and there was nobody else in there. And they just started worshiping. Andy had this great music that he did play, but their bodies responded to this initial drinking time. We were drinking in the presence of the Lord, waiting on Him, listening to what He was saying, and just refusing any stress, honestly. No stress. This is just joy. This is just something good. And so it was very contagious as well. And there's Andrew behind me. I was leaning against Andrew. And there, I don't know if we have that picture that we can show. Look at this one. Now look at his eyes. Now he may look as though he's crazy, but he was free. It was not, there was something here that was going on and somebody snapped it. We were just enjoying. There was an enjoyment in the presence of God. All right? So there was something that, I mean, it looks funny. I'm not going to put that on Facebook because he looks kind of crazy. But there was something going on inside of Andrew that was significant, that God, he was responding to something that God was doing. It was really, really healthy, and it was wonderful. But it may not be something that everybody would think is a good idea. But it was a very, very good idea. Okay? Because God says, I want to do something with that. When you do take time, I want you to look at worship in a different way. I want you to see that the way that I manifest myself to you, when you will wait on me, when you will receive from me, receive my ways, that you will seek out ways for this to happen. So anyway, this team, as I was beginning to tell you, had these times on the floor of just enjoying the presence of God. And then Andy had on a particular song. And I watched the whole team get up on the stage. Nobody told them to do it. And I just watched them, 21 people, one after the other, just got up on the stage and they just started dancing. And there's no worship. There's no service. There's no fire and wind. There was nothing. They just got up there And they were responding to the Spirit of God, and it went on and on and on. And it was really, really beautiful. And I thought, God, what are you doing here? I mean, it's fun. It's a good time. But this is an expression of worship that you want to do something with. There's another picture here. It's of Pastor Jose and I. Now, this was not the same day. I think Andy put it up there. This is not the same day. This was out in another village. But this is a picture of Pastor Jose and I in front of in a group doing a crusade. And I found out later that this particular is that the one? Is there one before that? Yeah, there's a bunch of people coming up, getting saved, giving their lives. But this was the fruit of some of this worship. That people, there was such an increase in anointing. The anointing increases in different, as we're worshiping the Lord, whether we're laying on the floor just drinking that way, or we're just completely tethered to the Lord one-on-one, singing in our cars on the way to work, not trying to figure out what we're going to do at work, but just worshiping the Lord, whatever it would be, where there was that responsiveness to His greatness, there's a reason for it. It's not just to make us feel good. There is joy that comes. And if that was enough and God said, that's wonderful, He could do that. He's Dad. He's our daddy. But what He was telling us was, I'm going to use this joy that I'm producing, that remember we just saw in Isaiah 56. I'm going to use this joy, and there's power. It's a spirit. And this joy is going to be released in a way that will bring sons and daughters into my kingdom, into my family. Is there one of Pastor Jose and I, or is that not there? If not, put the video clip on. That's fine. Let me show you, there's just a couple of seconds, maybe 5 or 10 seconds, video clip so you can see this. Do you have it? Okay. This is all at our website, by the way. You can see a lot of little snippets this time to encourage you. If you go actually to Frontline Ministry, just go to our website, click on the big box on the left. It says Mozambique 2013. It'll take you to this. Click on photos. And you'll see little video clips of various things that are significant. But I want to draw our attention to this for the sake of the gospel of the kingdom when the Lord says go. And hopefully it works. Okay, this is in Mamboni. I don't think we saw this last week, but I want you to see this because I want you to feel what we were feeling. He says, let me give you my love and my life.
Oh, deixa-me te dar o meu amor e a minha vida.
This is your moment.
Este é o teu tempo.
The Lord is calling you.
O Senhor está te chamando.
This is for all people.
Now watch all these people come up. Like the Spirit of God just boom, fell and drew them all. A whole place just came forward. Is that amazing? And over 260 people, this whole place just came forward. And it still charges me when I even think about it. When I stop and go, oh God, what a privilege to be able to lead people into your family like that. And I really believe that we're in the last days and that what He wants to do is growing in such a way that the fire of the Holy One is wanting to release something over us
in this season to be able to have eyes to see what he's doing around the world, to be able to see what he's doing in every country that he's moving like this in. This is in a little remote village out in the middle of nowhere. This is a village that is a gateway for the occult to come in and witchcraft for the whole country of Mozambique. I didn't even know that when I was preaching that night. And many of us were preaching in various villages. It wasn't just me. And healing and miracles. And so what does that have to do with worship? Everything. Everything. If we lose sight in any way of what worship is supposed to be or look like for us personally, then the enemy will be able to steal our song. And we don't want that to happen. We don't want any of what God is releasing, that roar on the inside of us, to be released or to be taken in any way. We want to be thinking about what truth is for us in the area of worship. And we know we love to come in and we have corporate worship, and that's really good, and we want to increase in that area. We also want to see that this worship experience and expression and response to God from what he's done, that this type of expression is what he wants to see follow us at home, out while we're mowing the grass, whatever we're doing. And we're going to become much more dangerous to the kingdom of darkness that way. We're going to close with Isaiah 43. Let's take a look at this, 1 through 7. But now thus says the Lord your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now, before we go onward, many people forget this part. Before we go to the hope that says, oh, I'm really in a rough time, get me through this. The first verse says, don't fear, I've redeemed you and I've called you by name, you're mine. I will see you through. But there's a response for what I have offered to you. This response is your act of worship. Your response to me is what I have required of you in a sense, but it's not this kind of require. It's a requirement for how we've been created. We have the DNA of heaven. We have Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, living on the inside of us, created in the image of God. So that DNA, when we are worshiping him with our spirit to his, in spirit and in full truth, we can't lose. And then every promise up here becomes a reality. It's not just up there going, I hope it happens, I hope it happens, I hope it happens. It becomes a reality. We must respond as we are worshipers in spirit and in truth. Okay, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. So we will pass through challenging times, but I will be with you. And it also signifies there's another side, always. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, not if, but when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Well, I don't know if I can really relate fully to this from my perspective. I've been through some rivers and some waters and some fires that feel pretty hot and pretty overwhelming. But yet there's a promise of God where he says, there's another side and I will take you to that side as my worshiper. That's why I have to go back and remember what he's done. Remember what he's promised. Remember how I felt. Remember what that raw was like on the inside. If there's any time where that raw isn't there, that raw. I have to do that because there's a condition here in the sense that we have to respond as worshipers. Even in the midst of our daddy pulling us along sometimes when things are tough, he understands. He's very understanding. But yet in him, there is never confusion. Never. If there's confusion in our heart or life, then there's something else going on. And he's saying, honey, I'm going to teach you what it means to worship in the area where you will have the full benefit of this. Okay, there's a response that we have in worship that God is saying, I want you to explore that a little bit deeper, more deeply. For I am the Lord. Don't you love this? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. This is who I am. He says, I'm capable and I will do it. Don't agree with something that I'm not saying. Don't agree. Don't do that. Agree with who I am. Agree with my character. There's a response I'm calling, and that is to worship your way into this holy place. Since you are, I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you. I love this. come on. I am precious to him and I am honored. You are honored and I love you. Come on. I couldn't believe it when I read this again. I've read it many times. It's like, yes, I am. I am honored. You love me because you've made me in your image. I am so special. When I walked into the airport, when I came back to the United States, I was by myself. As you know, I came back separate from the team. I walked into Atlanta, and there were all kinds of people waiting to go through customs. And this lady comes to me, and she says, you, come over here. And there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. She says, go right there. Go to the front of that place. There's no line here. She says, because today you are a VIP. You are a very important person. And I started to laugh going, oh, yes, I am. While everybody else waited for a good who knows how long. Come on. Things like that. But those are the natural things. You just smile and go, that's who I am, Daddy. Maybe not how I feel, but that's who I am. So I will feel it in Jesus' name. Since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring, I love this one, from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Come on. I mean, that's one special promise. And the Lord says, see yourself as my worshiper, as you worship me in spirit and in truth. Let your worship be laced and become truth more and more and more. I can't tell you what that is for you, but Holy Spirit can. And I believe there's an upgrade going on right now. He's saying, respond to what you're sensing, feeling, what's being splashed on you. And I will take you to that next place as you ascend to my holy mountain. You ascend to that secret place and things will be better and better and better. Even when you love not your life unto the death, even when things happen, ho. Shikarababa. Shikarababa. See. Hi. Wow. Holy Spirit. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Can we have the worship people up here? That's all of us, right? But I'm not playing an instrument. Wow. Let's just worship the Lord and just take all of these words and put up a message. Would you put up Isaiah 43 as they're coming and getting ready? 1-7 in the message. Put that up and let's read this in the easy format for some of us, okay? Here we go. But now, God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel. Don't be afraid, I've redeemed you. I've called your name, you're mine. And when you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you won't go down. Love it. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you, all of Egypt with rich Cush and Seba thrown in. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell off the whole world just to get you back, trade the creation just for you. Do you feel special? Do you feel honored? This is our God. So don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'll round up all your scattered children. Pull them in from the east and the west. I'll send orders north and south. Send them back. Return my sons from distant lands, my daughters from faraway places. I want them back. Every last one who bears my name. Every woman, man, and child whom I created for my glory. Yes, personally formed and made each one. Some of you might be thinking this is about your natural family. It can be. But I believe God is saying this is about the sons and daughters that he's bringing into the kingdom and bringing into glory. Let's claim it for both if that would be you. But the Lord wants us to know that he put a go on the inside of each one of us. And he said, you are my worshiper. And this goal looks like something. And this goal is going to show, it's going to come out in another way in this upcoming season where you're going to see that this is going to take you to the broken and the hurting and the lost and the richest of the rich and the poorest of the poor. Those who are broken and those who are hurting need Jesus. Hey, and God wants to bring revival, and he's saying, the revivalists, the harvesters in this place, I'm stirring you up today to see who you are and to see that I honor you, that I love you, that I trust you, that I believe in you, that you have my DNA, that you are so special, and that you don't lack anything. And if you think you do, we're smashing that one out because I gave you everything and you belong to me. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. The best is yet to come. This is a great day. Let's be on our feet. Let's worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, offering ourselves as we close right now. You are free to leave when you're finished worshiping in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you right now. We take these words of life. We thank you, Lord, for these words of life, for impartation. For those of you who just are wanting more, not sure what that means, just come on up. We'll pray and agree. Let's just close today as we worship the Lord. Just worship him. Come up for more prayer. And God bless you as you have a great week. Oh, let your kingdom come, oh God. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name, be encouraged, be strengthened. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes.